Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
And we still didn't get to all the callers on this show yesterday. Man, we had the phone lines open for the full hour yesterday. I wanted at the very end of the show at least to play this takedown by Robbie Starbuck. Robbie Starbuck broke down these BS attacks on a great Montana business, Bridger Aerospace. And I wanted to play that audio for you yesterday at the end of the show. But, man, we had great callers on the phone lines. And really, your phone calls are the best part of this show. And in fact, that call by Regina in Great Falls at the end of the program yesterday, wow. One of the best phone calls in a while here. I loved what she had to say about, you know, Kamala Harris and the economy. You know, you can't feed your kids optimism soup. No wonder then that the post-debate polling following the presidential debate between President Donald J. Trump and Kamala Harris, it's very interesting. John Graves, the CEO of Million Voices, who was on our program here recently. He's the one who put together that candidate fact sheet. He knows data. He shared a survey that was done by the Trafalgar Group. And it's interesting because according to their survey, this survey showed that that a majority, a pretty good-sized majority of viewers who watched the debate between Donald Trump and Kamala Harris actually thought Kamala Harris won the debate. But yet even still, the support for Donald J. Trump went up even higher. Donald Trump had more support following the debate than he did before the debate, even though, according to this same Trafalgar Group survey, they thought that Kamala Harris actually won the debate. Oh, maybe these voters out here are looking for more substance rather than style. Or as John Graves pointed out, it's the economy, stupid. Anyway, that was some very interesting insight that just came in here in the last 24 hours. But I'm glad also that I didn't get a chance to play the Robbie Starbuck audio yet because it ties in with some big news out of Lewistown, Montana as well. Frankly, not just out of Lewistown, but every town, Montana. For those of you who haven't seen it, the Central Montana Medical Center in Lewistown basically called out John Tester last night. They basically called him, or yesterday, they basically called him out without saying it. They basically called him a liar and for his latest advertisements. He's apparently the Tester, the group Montanans for Tester purchased a bunch of ads in newspapers across the state. And so now hospitals like CMMMC in Lewistown are saying, whoa, this is not true. We are not closing. We are not even at risk of closing. And we have nothing to do with that Tester commercial. So they are calling him out. I'll get to the Robbie Starbuck audio and then your calls right after this.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, so this is something that caught my eye last week while I was out on vacation. I was like, wow, this is powerful. I got to share this when I get back. So I actually reached out to Robbie Starbuck. He shared a video back on September 9th exposing political warfare, how Democrats are working to destroy a public company started by veteran and Purple Heart recipient Navy SEAL Tim Sheehy here in Montana. And it's a powerful video exposing also the fake news media attacks against Bridger Aerospace, which is the business that was started by Tim Sheehy. First, who is Robbie Starbuck? Well, if you go to thedailycaller.com today, they've got a piece. Basically, they write this. Robbie Starbuck has been collecting scalps. First came Tractor Supply Company, then John Deere. Most recently, Coors scrapped their participation in the Human Rights Campaign's Corporate Equity Index. Basically, he is working with whistleblowers inside of all these companies who are outraged at this woke DEI garbage that's being shoved down their throats. He then puts the spotlight on it, and then these companies do away with this woke DEI garbage. So Robbie Starbuck, he's got a new film out called The War on Children. He's a Cuban-American film director. He says, I used to direct stars. Now I fight for freedom. Listen to what he shared, and we're sharing this with his permission, what he shared about this latest BS attack on Tim Sheehy's company, Bridger Aerospace.
Y'all, I want to bring to your attention some bizarre political warfare that's playing out in the Montana Senate race. What I'm about to explain to you, I believe, is the Democrats' plan to keep the Senate even if Trump wins the White House. My hope is that by giving this sunlight, people will get wise to what's going on here. I noticed this by chance, this post right here by short seller Mark Cahotas. In this post, he's calling for an investigation into Tim Sheehy and his company, Bridger Aerospace. You see, Mark typically is taken very seriously as a short seller. He has a long history of short selling on the stock market, and a lot of people listen to him when he's short selling. So naturally, I wondered why Mark was attacking this company, Bridger Aerospace, so hard. If you're wondering what Bridger Aerospace does, it's this. They put fires out. Seems like an odd company to be attacking. Bridger Aerospace is also one of the only public companies in Montana. But you see, that's not the problem with Bridger Aerospace. No, it seems the real problem is this guy, Tim Sheehy. He's running for Senate in Montana against John Tester, a Democrat. You may not have known a Democrat represents Montana in the United States Senate, but somehow that actually happened. But Tim is running against him, and right now he is leading in the polls. So the Democrats are desperate to keep Tester in that seat so they can maintain control in the Senate. Now, keep in mind here, the guy they're attacking is not just a Republican Senate candidate. This man was a Navy SEAL with a Purple Heart. He is the type of guy we should be rewarding in this country for their service. But instead, the Democrats are going after him full force. I guess they couldn't find anything on him personally. So instead, we're seeing what we're about to explain, an attack on a public company that employs a ton of veterans and people in Montana. So before Tim ran for the Senate, Bridger Aerospace received really nothing but positive press. But then Tim decided to run for a Senate seat that will likely decide whether the Democrats or Republicans get control of the United States Senate after this coming election. That's when you started to see stories like this. So like many of us are used to now in politics, we see somebody not get attacked before they run for office, and they're seen as nothing but successful, a war hero, and everybody likes the guy, then he runs for office, and now suddenly the company needs to be investigated. So there's this letter that has been sent out to the federal government asking them to investigate Tim's company, a company that by financial metrics is doing better now than it was in the past. You might be wondering who wrote this letter and signed it. Well, that would be these people, and the list is filled with Democrat donors, like this one, and this one, and this one, and this one, and this one, who is my personal favorite, and I had to point out, is a sex shop owner. Yes. So yeah, the dildo guy is asking the federal government to investigate the war heroes company, Bridger Aerospace. I'm sure that makes sense to everybody. As a result of all the bad press driven by stories that Democrats have put out there, now some mysterious person is shorting the stock of Bridger Aerospace, which means that Tim, as someone who has an interest in Bridger Aerospace having a higher stock price, may have less money now to put into the Montana Senate race. I wonder who that benefits. The Democrats. And remember that short seller's post that we started this all with? Well, it turns out he's such good friends with Elizabeth Warren that there's literally articles about it. By the way, that letter those donors sent, well, it implicated a county in Montana. That county has come out saying that the letter was politically motivated. And not only that, but we're talking about a company that is on track to double profitability this year. So doubling profitability, but stock price is going down. Is this making sense to everyone? Because it's making sense to me. It seems that the stock price going down has a lot more to do with the fact that this man is running for United States Senate and the Democrats couldn't find anything personally to attack him with. So instead, they're perfectly fine with trying to destroy a business started by veterans that employs veterans and saves lives with their business. That should enrage everybody. There's some things that should maybe not be used as a cudgel to try to beat your political enemies with. Like, I don't know, businesses that save people from wildfires. But that's the reality we live in, and people deserve to know that the Democrats are that desperate that they are willing to try to tear down a company like this. And it should be disgusting to you. But that is the truth. Democrats are willing to do anything, tear anything down, down for power, and it is disgusting. So I have one ask for you. I want you guys all to support Tim Sheehy. Show your support online by sharing this video so that people in Montana understand what the Democrats are willing to do for power, because there is no way that John Tester should be in that Senate seat come this election. People like this willing to destroy veteran businesses for power belong nowhere near power. And that's the truth.
All right. Yeah, what a video there by Robbie Starbuck, x.com/Aaron Flint. I shared it a number of days ago, but maybe I'll have to get it on our Montana Talks website for you here. But what a point he makes there. And this ties in with the hospital in Lewistown. Why did they have to come out with this big Facebook post to the public? We're not shutting down. We're not closing. And other hospitals like Logan Health in Northwest Montana had to do the same thing. Because John Tester is so desperate to cling to power, he is willing to destroy your local hospital in the process, just like he has been trying to destroy this incredible firefighting business started by a Navy SEAL here in Montana as well. That desperate for power.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Earmuffs, kids. Ah, man, first off, I apologize for that earmuffs moment. I guess I didn't realize that Robbie Starbuck used that one particular line in his commentary as he was referring to the Democrat Party activist in Bozeman who owns the sex shop. I just thought it was Laura Loomer who made that reference in her tweet. I did not realize that Robbie Starbuck included that in his video. So I apologize for not warning you ahead of time about the earmuffs, kids, earmuffs moments. Fortunately, most of the kids are back in school right now, but some of you may still appreciate the earmuffs warning. So earmuffs, kids. Laura Loomer also highlighted this. Remember when we had Laura Loomer on the show? She says, wow, this is disgusting. Democrat Senator John Tester teamed up with a far-left dildo salesman named Billy McWilliams to ask the Biden-Harris administration to investigate Navy SEAL Tim Sheehy's business as a form of political warfare. Yeah, Breitbart News has a story here which details all of the people who were on that letter to the federal government trying to get a Montana company started by a Navy SEAL investigated, all because he is a candidate for public office trying to continue to serve his country. This shows you how desperate they are. And by the way, that Billy McWilliams guy, remember who this guy is? He's the guy who sexually harassed a young woman at a parade referencing a sexual object while he sexually harassed that young woman, by the way. And yet look at how the Democrats and the liberal media just follow this guy on Twitter. Crazy, crazy stuff. All right, let's go to Arnie in Boyd, first up on the phone lines. Arnie, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Yeah, good morning. Anyway, that was real good from that guy on there that you put on there, Starbucks. What was his name?
Yeah, Robbie Starbuck is his name. He's very interesting guy. He's got the Robbie Starbuck Show podcast as well.
That's excellent. With Tim Sheehy. I can't stand the ads, but where they do that bidding about selling public land, I'd like them to prove one place where there's been any public land sold by Sheehy or anybody else. You can't go sell that stuff.
Well, former Democrat governor Steve Bullock sold some public lands while he was governor. But I remember pointing it out at the time, and they were like, well, that doesn't count. Oh, it doesn't? Because you guys are always saying that the other side wants to sell public lands, but you're the ones that actually did it.
Yeah, I tell you, these two, they're so two-faced, it's unreal, and these people just keep hanging on to them. And anyway, with the illegals, I hope G14 and Brian Knutson are on the ball here with this stuff to get this thing stopped. The Lutherans and the Catholics bring them in there spend the money, bring them in, then they just turn them loose and the taxpayer pays the rest of it. They need to be on top of this stuff and try to get it halted before we have the same problem.
Well, that's why this Senate race and, of course, getting Trump back in the White House is so important, because you think, I mean, they just shoved 20,000 Haitian migrants into Springfield, Ohio. That's like, you know, Springfield, Ohio, 60,000 people. That's like shoving 20,000 so-called migrants into Bozeman, Montana, or into Missoula, Montana, right? And you know they would do it. You know they will do it. Now, what's going to be interesting, and I was talking with our friend David Noble about this here earlier this morning, what's going to be interesting is the Democrats and will say, well, look, hey, you can't deport these illegal aliens as a local sheriff or as a, you know, state governor because of, you know, the supremacy clause. The feds have the authority over immigration. Okay, well, get all these people on the record, because when Trump is back in the White House and when the Republicans control the Senate and we start deporting these illegal aliens, you watch as liberals in Bozeman, liberals in Missoula, you can't come in here and deport these illegal aliens. Oh, hey, whoa, 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 wait a minute. Weren't you guys the same ones that were telling us that it's the feds that have the authority here? So anyway, I think that's where we have to use this to our advantage in the fight ahead. Arnie, great to hear from you. Thanks so much for the phone call. Tom in Billings next up, and the number for you, 406-294-0970. Tom, what's going on?
Good morning, Aaron. As you know, Thomas Madigan, I'm running for Yellowstone County Sheriff. This accident that happened on September 9 and 10 with the motorcyclist being killed could have been prevented. Pompey's Pillar is 40 miles away from Billings. The policy set forth by the current administration in the Yellowstone County Sheriff's Department is that he lets deputies decide whether or not. This could have been avoided with drone technology. It's 45 minutes minimum from Pompey's Pillar to Billings down the interstate. This guy came into town. They followed him. They kept up the pursuit. It could have done by drone technology. This guy would have calmed down. I lived in Arizona. I worked for Sheriff Ohio. I'm a former Coast Guard veteran. I'm all about public safety. This could have been deterred, back off the pursuit, put a drone up. They already knew the license number. They already knew the trailer number. They already knew this. This guy was killed just driving down 4th Avenue like we all do. Could have been your family, your children, your grandchildren. Could have been anybody. This could have been avoided by backing off the pursuit, putting a drone in the air with the coordinates.
But do they have that? Do they have that technology in their arsenal right now? I mean.
Yes, they do.
Okay.
They could have put it. They got two helicopters. They could have put a helicopter up. They could have reduced the intensity by backing off. This guy was going to either go home or go to a hiding place. They had the coordinates. Put a drone up. A drone is so much cheaper. We used them in the military. You used them in the military. This policy of him letting deputies decide whether or not, and you could ask Rich St. John, they have a policy as far as high-speed chases. You should have never brought a high-speed chase into the city of Billings when you had 40 minutes to de-escalate out there. Let the guy go. You got his license number. You got his truck, make, model, everything.
Well, it's certainly a tough situation. So for those who don't know the backstory here, obviously, you know, the Billings area in particular has been hit with a lot of crime, a lot of vehicle thefts. If you're somebody who works in the construction industry, you've had construction equipment stolen from your job site or stolen out of your driveway, right? And so here's this guy who apparently steals a front-end loader. And I read a couple of different reports, one from the Billings Gazette, one from Q2. I got all the press release info that came out as well. So this guy is caught. He is driving around the front-end loader, if I remember right, that he stole. So they go to stop the guy. It ends up leading to a high-speed chase. It looked like there were portions of that pursuit where they did back off, especially when it did get into the area near, say, the Billings Metro and that, kind of closer to the downtown area where they did back off. But that guy was still fleeing. And then that thief, that suspected thief, tragically ran over a motorcycle rider and killed the gentleman on the motorcycle. And so just, you know, I know people are, you know, obviously, you know, sending out, you know, their thoughts and prayers to the family and friends of that victim. But it's a tough call to make because they've got to have the ability to go after these criminals. Otherwise, we're going to continue to get, you know, hit by the ongoing crime. Hey, ideas about how we can better integrate technology, helicopters, response time. I'm sure all of that is the type of stuff that will come up in any, follow-on investigation, et cetera. Tom, thanks for the call. Appreciate hearing from you. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. That reminds me of another story, kind of a criminal story that was in the news. Do you guys remember seeing this story about a missing 12-year-old boy in Great Falls? That obviously the sheriff, you know, Sheriff Slaughter there was doing a great job pumping out the information, trying to, you know, get the word out about this missing 12-year-old boy. I saw a website in Great Falls, The Electric, a blog in Great Falls, has a story here where basically now two people are in custody related to that missing 12-year-old. Apparently they saw this 12-year-old walking down the street and so they brought him into his home, but then they didn't report it. They knew that he was this missing boy, but they didn't report it to authorities. And so, eventually they ended up, thankfully, the missing 12-year-old was found. And then when law enforcement raided the house, they found all sorts of drugs, meth, et cetera, inside the home of these two people that were housing this missing 12-year-old. So, thankfully, there is a good ending to that story. But it just, you know, once again goes to show this fight that we got on our hands here across Montana due to, all the drugs, the meth, the fentanyl, and so much more. Okay, let's see. We got more callers on the phone lines here. 406-294-0970. Write that number down, though, because we just filled up the phone line. So we'll try to do a lightning round of callers right after this. Plus, you can message us on our Montana Talks app as well, if you want to just send us a quick message that way. All right, back right after this. Looks like we got Lisa in Red Lodge first up, and then several other great callers on the phone lines as well.
This is where Montana Talks app with Lane Nordlund.
This week, Potomac, Montana rancher Justin Iverson is joining the U.S. Meat Export Federation on a trade mission to Japan. Iverson is representing the Montana Beef Council on the trade mission.
The Japanese consumer is very driven by quality and taste, and they absolutely highly value grain-finished beef. They are not interested in grass-finished. They can get that from Australia if they want, but they actually prefer very high-end grain-finished. They like the eating quality, they like the texture, they like the eating experience. And so they want to know how we are finishing our cattle, how we are selecting our genetics, how we raise them on the ground. They wanted to see pictures of our ranches. Somewhat interested in sustainability. That's a little bit less for them. They are very concerned about the environment. They want to know that we're healthy and we're safe, but they know that the American producer has very high quality and very high standards for environmental care. And so it's not the biggest driver for them. It really comes down to the eating experience.
Iverson emphasized the economic impact of beef exports, with Japan being a top market, exporting premium cuts like strip loin, short ribs, and other products like beef tongue and others that aren't desirable in the United States, help American producers maximize profits by adding nearly $400 in carcass value. The trade mission concludes this weekend. I'm Lane Northland.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's jump right into phone calls here. We've got a lot of great callers on the phone lines. Lisa in Red Lodge first up here after the break. Lisa, what's on your mind? Thanks for calling in.
Hi, I want to clarify that most of the people that have been crossing the border or flown directly into airports into the United States are not considered illegal. The Biden administration has brought them in under the parole program, which means that they are allowed to work here until they get a hearing, whatever number of years later, which means they cannot legally be deported. The ones that can are the gotaways at the border that didn't actually wait in line to get processed as a parolee. So it's a false hope to think that a lot of these people will be deported. They won't. And for those that don't know, Missoula is considered a United Nations refugee resettlement location. A lot of NGOs are located there that are processing these people, but they are not staying in Missoula. Under the USDA, there's $1 billion dedicated to the Direct 502 program, which is to resettle people in rural areas. The entire state of Montana is considered rural, and they can get loans as low as 1% for up to 38 years and for amounts in the Carbon County, Stillwater, and Yellowstone areas for up to $603,000 to buy a home. And all of this is detailed in the USDA Act. It's available to both citizens and non-citizens, and it's directed to those that are considered homeless or housing unstable, which is what the majority of these people crossing the border getting flown into our cities are considered. So this program is really directed to help get them into a home, although it is available for regular people, too. So I recommend people who need a mortgage, can't afford one, look at the USDA program.
Yeah, very interesting. No, that point that you make is so spot on about, you know, status and parolee status. If I recall correctly, remember I think he was designated as a parolee from Afghanistan who was accused of raping that 18-year-old young lady in Missoula, Montana. And he was technically a parolee. And this is exactly why whenever we've talked about refugees, you know, being placed in Montana. Look, I get it. 30, 40 years ago, if you supported bringing refugees to Montana, okay, it made sense. The Hmong refugees, for example, well, they were vetted by our own American personnel. They worked alongside CIA personnel from Montana, many of whom were smoke jumper firefighters before the CIA. And so they worked closely with Americans over in Southwest Asia. And so it was the Americans who vetted them and then brought them back here. What the Biden administration, what the Biden-Harris tester regime has been doing is not only opening up our border, allowing anybody to walk across and then hang out here, they've been doing exactly what Lisa just said right there. And Lisa, thanks for the call. I spoke with John Fabbricatore, who was the ICE state director for Colorado and Wyoming before he retired. And he said exactly what I said, which is it's like Oprah Winfrey. You get a car, you get a car, you get a car, which also makes me wonder why all these Haitians in Springfield, Ohio are driving cars. If they're these poor migrants, where did they get the cars from? But anyway, you get to be a refugee. You get to be a refugee. You get to be. They have thrown out the vetting. They have thrown out procedure. They have thrown out policy. They have thrown out the way they have always done this type of a system before. to just allow anybody to come into this country and then just give them the refugee button. That's what's happening right now in this country. Next up, let's go to Josh in Great Falls. Josh, thanks for the call.
Hey, how's it going, Aaron? This is Josh Butterfly with the Prayer Warriors Tribal Council. I was just calling in today. I see a lot of issues with the current Native American caucus and leaders who are attacking Sheehy in regards to remarks that he made. And they're posting articles that all Natives are in support of that. But, you know, we got to remember this is an election year that these Democrats and these Native leaders who have been in these positions for a very long time are going to use these tactics to prey on the emotion of the Native people. But the reality is, you know, they're the reason why we're in this poverty state, you know, because of, you know, immigration and the gerrymandering. And, you know, now they're jumping in these organizations, these NGOs like Red Medicine LLC, Western Native Voice, and they're promoting, they're bringing these white men on our reservation and telling lies to the people and then doing things behind the scenes that places our reservations in poverty. And it's a direct violation of our treaty of 1855. If you would look at the current case with the doctor that was up there that, you know, abused our children. So, you know, they're in the same boat, and these are traitors against our own people, you know, by selling out our people and our resources and stealing their votes.
That's very interesting. You talk about the white men that they're bringing on the reservation to push these false claims by the Tester campaign. That's very interesting because, yeah, Western Native Voice is basically a dark money group funded by a liberal white foreigner named George Soros. And then he's the one coming out here and pushing these attacks against Tim Sheehy. Josh, thanks for the call. That's interesting what you say to where you think that the leadership in some of these tribes right now is you know, blowing these remarks out of proportion. What I found most interesting about these comments is that why is nobody posting the full audio? Why are they grabbing little 10, 15 second, 30 second chunks here or there? And why aren't they posting the full audio? Because, man, we've seen Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy, who is a warrior, who has a respect for the warriors on these reservations, who has gone out. I saw one photo where he was, I think he was on Rocky Boy during a powwow. And the Tester campaign had some signs set up, and there were a couple of guys manning their campaign booth. And Tim Sheehy went up and shook their hands and talked to them, showing the respect that he has. I just find it very interesting. But yeah, the Rocky Mountain tribal leaders, we get it. Most of you guys are backing John Tester and backing the Democrats, the very same Democrats that are flooding your reservations with Mexican drug cartel operatives, flooding your reservations with fentanyl and meth. And as Josh pointed out, doesn't our U.S. government have treaty obligations with these tribes to protect your borders? Then why are they not protecting your borders? Why are your borders being flooded with Mexican drug cartel operatives and meth and fentanyl? Why isn't the Rocky Mountain tribal leaders holding a press conference about the lack of federal law enforcement on our reservations? Why isn't the fake news Montana media talking about that story that TheHill.com reported over a week ago, where the leader of Fort Belknap was criticizing John Tester for not providing enough law enforcement, federal law enforcement on the reservations, and mocked the fact that all John Tester did was send a letter? Well, John Tester did more than send a letter to Ukraine when their borders needed defending. Why didn't he send law enforcement to our reservations when our borders needed defending, right? But see, the fake news liberal media in Montana doesn't want to highlight that criticism of John Tester by a tribal leader, because they also are in the back pocket of these Democrat campaigns. Yeah. Let's see. Next up, let's go to why doesn't the Rocky Mountain tribal leaders holding a press conference about the lack of federal law enforcement on our reservations that John Tester has refused to provide? Why did John Tester never once meet with the head of the DEA here in Montana when she was fighting to defend Lodgegrass in the Crow Nation from this onslaught of illegal alien drug cartel operatives? There were great warriors like the mayor of Lodgegrass, Mayor Quincy, that were stepping up to join her in that fight. Where was John Tester? Nowhere to be found. Oh, but that white man is so desperate to hold on to his power, isn't he? Next up, let's go to Frank in Evergreen. Frank, what's going on?
Hi, Aaron. Yeah, I wanted to talk about these Tester ads, especially when he goes into, I've been a settler here since 1912. You know, but then 50 years later, he's about ready to lose the farm, so he gets into subdividing and whatever. But 50 years prior to 1912, that was when there was a big land. That's when the pioneers started coming up. But prior to that, 50 years before, back in early 1800s, it was the explorers, the true pioneers that actually were on Montana's soil.
Well, and is John Tester even a Montanan anymore? I mean, he's basically a Washington, D.C. insider who owns property in Washington. Hold that thought. Got to take a quick break. Stand by.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
We're not closing. We're not closing. Yeah, the hospitals all across Montana now are forced to tell all of their supporters, we're not closing because of the lying campaign commercials from John Tester. Man, that one is really backfiring on him. Go to x.com/Aaron Flint. You can read that full statement from the Central Montana Medical Center in Lewistown. It was interesting. I continued the conversation with Frank and Evergreen during the break, and Frank was talking about a recent trip he took to Ireland, and there was a Catholic priest in Ireland who, I guess, was famous for the line, God has no country. But anyway, Frank and I got to talking about how, you know, John Tester will attack anybody who moved to Montana from another state. But, yeah, if you come here illegally from another country, John Tester won't attack you. He'll just give you our taxpayer dollars. It's quite the contrast, isn't it? Let's go to State Senator Brad Molnar out of Laurel next up on the phone lines. Brad, thanks for sticking around.
Yeah, thanks for putting me on. When you were on break, I don't know, about a week or so ago, one of your listeners called in wanting to know from Noble with a K, what he knew about the Montana Independent newspaper. But I've got a few things here that I looked up that I think your listeners will find pretty darn interesting. The newspaper comes out in four states, three of which are battleground for president, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Montana for the Senate race. It's funded by Bridges 21st Century, which is now co-chaired by Steve Bullock. They send out $150,000 per month to Montanans, making them the largest newspaper in Montana. And the stories are usually accurate, but they're all good for Tester and for Biden. They are bad for Sheehy and Gianforte, and the headlines really might not even mirror the story. And the only local reporter, all of us are in D.C., is from Missoula, and that is Richard Manning, who is the husband of your favorite tree spiker, BLM director Tracy Stone Manning. And I find this to be somewhat hilarious. There's two ads in the whole thing. One is from the American Lung Association, urging people to not smoke, and a large four-color ad from the Montana Department of Health and Human Services.
Hmm.
We are funding a, I'll call it a newspaper, that is so left-leaning that it almost becomes laughable when you're going through it.
So but basically, our taxpayer dollars are funding a dark money campaign to support Democrat candidates. Can the DPHHS director put a halt to that? It seems to merit an investigation.
I would assume you could say we're not spending any more money, but and I really don't want to go into personalities on this. Whoever is in charge of advertising is supposed to check content. And when I sold advertising for newspapers, I always got questions on who reads it, send us a copy, et cetera. And I don't think that was done. If it was done on purpose, I would want to talk to whoever was in charge.
Yeah, very interesting.
For the newspaper itself.
And it could be one of these one of these agencies, third party from DPHHS that's doing the placing. Yeah, no, but that would be interesting to track down because, there may be a new governor, there may be a new head of this, a new head of that, but just like the swamp back in Washington, sometimes those same characters remain in some of those key positions at the state level, too. That's very interesting. All right, Senator Molnar, great to hear from you. He's also a candidate for the Public Service Commission in South Central and Southwestern Montana, Southeastern Montana as well. So thanks for your call. Grandpa Lou in Billings next up. Grandpa Lou, great to hear from you.
My friend, for letting me come on this morning, and I just wanted to respond to the one comments about Tim Sheehy and being at the branding thing and the comments. All that stuff, I'm sure, was taken out of context. I'm over 70 years old.
Of course, yeah.
I tell you, I've been to more than one branding, and I'm sure you have too. You know, and the beer drinking starts at zero dark 30 and it goes all day long. And you're bantering and giving BS, Adam Schiff, to everybody that's there and stuff. And all that stuff was all taken out of context. I'm sure I wasn't there, but you know how it, and I'm sure.
Well, that's why they don't want to release his full remarks. That's why they don't want to release his full remarks, because they want to twist it and spin it.
Yeah.
I've been in a bucking horse sale at 8 o'clock in the morning and you're cracking open a cold can of something or whatever, but don't tell anybody that, right? Yeah. Hey, Grandpa Lou, I got an idea. The Babylon Bee had this headline about Springfield, Ohio and the Haitian migrants. Media assures Americans that migrants haven't killed any cats, just women and children. Here's the public service announcement, courtesy of Dr. Evil.
Got it in a hot pocket. An ego. So, no, we don't gnaw on our kitty. Leave Minnie Mr. Bigglesworth alone. Just love him, stroke him.
No, Minnie me, we do not gnaw on kitty. We do not gnaw on kitty. The ad buyers need to get that one on the airwaves in Springfield, Ohio. We do not gnaw on kitty.